You can help me pronounce some of these names.
Okay. This is from Kutisechi, that's
what I said.
Alu Dimani.
Okay.
Mustaq Ahmed.
Mustaq.
Mustaq Ahmed. And Akihiko Hirayama.
Thank you. They want us to use this. Because it's recorded, and then that mouse will be recorded somehow. Now you're number two?
A second.
Okay, and then, Dr. Mahan, I know when we do younger things.
Most of them, except like.
Okay. Jun Ping? Jun Ping?
Yeah. I just started this.
Oh, good. Okay. Are you postdoc or faculty? Or?
I work in ARS.
Oh, you are? Okay. Thank you. Good talk. That's all right. It's not your fault. I think it worked out good. What I did is I just gave you all that time on the back end.
No, I didn't know why. This morning I went to the room, the speaker room, and went there, and the screen
room
is my view. So I
did see it works. Yeah. Well, I just gave you the time on the back end. It worked fine. Yeah. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah. So are you in charge of the program review on the faculty there?
No.
The creature?
No. No, I'm not. I'm not a college station.
You're not a college station. Where are you located?
Commerce.
Commerce.
It's a satellite university. Well, I have an appointment with AgriLife, 15%. But I'm in charge of a department that's agricultural sciences. So we have animal science and ag ed and ag econ. About one faculty member for each.
Oh, I see.
So,
I
but
thought
I still
you're a college station.
No.
I'm a member to review your curriculum.
Yeah, I know that. I don't know if David Altensberger has passed that down to someone else or not. But, so you're an outside reviewer.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw you teach herpetology. Mm-hmm.
Do you stress herpetology? Well, I include a little bit of lessons on stress, but not much. But I teach just an overall crop phys class. We call it just crop phys. You teach yours
teach
there.
That.
Yeah, in terms of you cover photosynthesis, water
yeah.
relations.
Stress herpetology.
Yeah. And, I wish I could maybe modernize it a little bit, and we even maybe do a little bit of gene expression and that type of thing. But these things like superoxide dismutase, we really haven't gotten to where we teach them.
It's an undergraduate program.
It depends. They can take it for either one, and then they have to do extra work.
How
are you doing? Yeah, this is our probably one of our main sessions that we'll have, besides posters.
Yeah. How's life treating you?
Okay.
Good. There you are.
Okay. Well, we have we've delayed planting like everything and harvesting on the last two soybean studies. But we got our yield trials out. There's still things out there. We had 17 days in a row of rain, and then we had. And it just went in the fall. It was also days in the spring and summer.
Planting, maturity, and no harvest, really, just people, 5-10%. We carried our yield plots out by hand.
Well, I've thought about maybe getting mine.
We started it in one row.
Let's do one row then.
Normally take two rows, but we did only one row.
Right. Well, these are all
PIs.
Oh, I get it. And segregating lines as well?
No.
Okay.
So,
but you wanted the seeds, so you didn't send off to the collection again, because you never know what you're going to get there.
That's right.
And they don't know either. They do their best.
Pay that much money.
Right.
I can always complain. In the best year, I've done something. This year is not the best year. Definitely been more than overall. How is that administration?
Yeah, hanging in there. It's a lot of challenges and individuals come to you with arm extended and palm up.
That's why you guys are there for
them. Yeah, because we have no budget. We have no budget. So I said, well, help me write a grant. I'll write one with you. Anyway. Yeah, I better start seeing what my timetable is here. Well, we still got 3 minutes, but well, I still like to start about a minute ahead just to get so they can start right on time. But. So, anything else new there?
Thinking about retiring. Hiring in Boot Hill, there's 3 positions open for the Boot Hill.
Really? What jobs?
Well, one is Price. I think they might have offered somebody the job, but just finished up here in general as retired.
Right. Mm-hmm. Breeding or management? Who left? I guess there was like Gene. Okay, yeah.
Gene's
yeah.
There.
Gene's there.
Bobby left. Like 3 years
okay.
Ago.
Takes a while to replace people sometimes.
Yeah, we interviewed and we had a great candidate, but the growers didn't like language, color barriers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, we run into that a lot. But that's an important grower position down there.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Welcome back for the last 4 talks for this crop stress tolerance session. We'll begin with a talk on progress in oil field water research in Oman. Our lead speaker for this is Humphrey Aseshi. Co-authors are Ali Bimani, Mustaq Ahmed, and Arshikio Irama. Humphrey?
Good afternoon. This afternoon I'll be talking about progress in oilfield water research in Oman. And according to Stevenson in 1992, he said that in any oil field or oil well, you produce as much as 10 well, the ratio of oil to water is 1 to 10. So if you produce one unit of oil, you produce about 10 units of water. So there's a lot of water involved in oil production. So it is a common knowledge that there's water below the oil layer. So this, for instance, is an oil field. You have, if you sink a well here, for instance, this is the oil, and below it you have the water. So you produce very, very small amount of oil and a lot of water. And a country like Oman, which is a desert country, water is very crucial. So what can we do with this water? How can we purify it and make it useful in agriculture? So that's what I'll be talking about this afternoon. In the Sultanate of Oman, the volume of water produced is estimated to be more than triple that of oil produced. Actually, it's about 4 times as much oil as produced. Oman produces about 800,000 barrels of oil every day. So you're thinking of about maybe 3.2 million barrels of water produced daily. So that's a lot of water that can be used for agriculture. We have 2 fields. You have the northern field and the southern field. In the northern field, water that is produced is reinjected into the aquifer to maintain reservoir pressure. So there's no problem with that. In the south, of course, we don't need to reinject the water into the oil well. So the water has to be disposed of somehow. They used to dispose of it either by, you know, pouring on the soil, you know, just on the ground surface, which is very unfriendly environmentally, or they dispose of it into the upper water bearing strata. And this is not good for the municipal water because it can pollute the water which people use for drinking. So the government of Oman has prohibited such practice because of concern of long-time groundwater contamination for human use. Consequently, the water is now being reinjected into the deeper water strata. This process is very expensive, takes a lot of money, and so we decided to have a joint research between Sultan Kabos University, where I work, and the Petroleum Energy Center in Japan to initiate a process whereby the water produced can be effectively treated and utilized for irrigation. This project, the federal government committed about $500,000 to the project. This is produced water. Like I told you earlier, the southern Oman is where you have the problem. The northern has no, Oman has no problem. Let's take three areas, Mahmoud, Nima, and Rima. You can find that the water produced is a lot of water, starting from 1999 to 2003. And this is basically the map of Oman. You have UAE to the west, and Saudi Arabia. The northern oil field over here, and the southern oil field, that's where you have the problem. So the objectives of our research are as follows: to reduce the oil contamination to an acceptable level and to use the water for irrigation. Now, the oil field water contains sometimes up to 300 parts per million of oil. And we know that the acceptable level of oil contamination is 0.5 parts per million. So we must find a way of reducing this large quantity of oil to the amount that can be used for irrigation. So this the constraint of oil in the different fields. In Mahmoud, for instance, 309 parts per million, Nima 261, Rima 138. So the first part of our study was to find the most effective coagulants and absorbents that could be used to enhance the separation of oil from water during the flotation process. So preliminary studies in the laboratory, we used several coagulants and several absorbents to find out which of these are most effective for our work. We found that ferric chloride in combination with polyacrylamide was the most effective coagulant. Similarly, aluminum chloride in combination with polyacrylamide was also effective. Among the several absorbents, activated carbon was the most effective. Now, this is just to show you the optimization results, absorption. You have ceramic carbon, Filtek, activated carbon, high ceramic carbon, diamolase, and anthracite. We chose activated carbon as the absorbent to use because it was the most effective. Now, if you can, you can argue that ceramic carbon was very effective, or has a very high absorption efficiency. But we found that in the laboratory, yes, it was very effective, but when we came to the pilot plant, it was not very effective, so we dropped that. And Filtek was too expensive, so we decided on this absorbent. It's also briefly the cost per unit treatment. So in the second part of our study, we developed a pilot plant at the university. The pilot plant consisted of a treatment unit using air flotation process, sand filtration, and carbon absorption method. This is the pilot plant. This is the College of Engineering. That's the pilot plant behind. This is another picture of the pilot plant. These barrels contain the oil field water. They go through the pilot plant, and this contains The barrel contained the water, which had been purified and ready for irrigation. That's the flotation tank, the scrapper, which removes the oil after the oil has been floated. Then these are the absorption columns containing either anthracite, sand, or any of the absorbents. This is a schematic diagram of the plant. On the left-hand side, you have the air flotation process in which the raw water is put in here. It goes into a mixing tank. The air flotation in which air is forced into the water, the oil rises up, then it's scrapped with a scraper, and then the water moves in here. In this tank, if you take a look at the amount of oil here, it's about 20 parts per million, so it's not good for irrigation. So it has to pass through absorbents, that's the absorption, the absorption process in which it passes through anthracite or activated carbon, and then the water is out for irrigation. The water here is about sometimes less than 0.5, sometimes 0.3 parts per million of oil. In the plant, in the pilot plant, water is passed through the air filtration cell before entering the sand filtration and finally into the activated carbon. Now, these are some of the results in the pilot plant performance. That is raw water. For instance, I have the first one, 131 parts per million of raw water, that is right from the, after you remove the oil, continued by 131 parts per million of oil. That it undergoes the air flotation process. You still have up to 19 parts per million, so it's no good for irrigation. Then passed through sand, 3.15, still no good. So finally, through activated charcoal, carbon, 0.1%, so that's good because the requirement or the limit is 0.5 parts per million. And you can go on down like that, and that's giving the same results. This is also a graphical illustration of what happens, starting, for instance, at about 130. After air flotation, you reduce the oil to about 20, anthracite to less than 20, and with activated carbon to maybe 0.5 or 0.3. So in a full development scale, what we are looking at is follows. Produce water, that is, the oil field water containing about 100 to 300 milligrams per liter or parts per million. After the flotation, contains up to 5 to 10 parts per million of oil, which is still not good. Then after the absorption, it's less than 0.5 parts per million. So it is ready to be used for irrigation. Now, the impact on soil. If you use this water to irrigate plants, well, how does it affect the soil? We found that the salinity of the soil increased. There was little change in soil pH. There was a decrease in hydraulic conductivity, saturated hydraulic conductivity. There was an increase in sodium adsorption ratio. These two units are inverse, as you all know. As the SAR increases, the saturated hydraulic conductivity should decrease. And that probably because the soil we use was transported from a different area. So we expect that the bulk density will increase. And of course, there are other problems related to that. This is the irrigation plot. That's barley, rose grass with the water. And these are some of the results we obtained, the yields of barley under treated water, that is under oil field water, and under tap water. So the first, this is irrigation water. That's tap water, the control. That is the treated water at the amount of water required for minimum growth. That's ET level at 1.5 times ET and 2.0 ET. So if we look at the number of spikes per plant, you find that there are no differences statistically between the control, that is tap water, and the oil field water. We also look at kernels per plant and weight of 100 grams of grains. It's only in the weight of 100 grams of grain that we found that the tap water gave fairly higher weight than the oil field water. We also look at the iron composition of the cell sap or the stem sap of the barley plants, looked at phosphorus, potassium, and sodium. The sodium was very much of interest. We find that sodium was much higher, was much lower in the tap water treated plants compared to the oil field water. Like I said earlier, we had a problem with salinity of the soil, so this shows in the plant sap as well. Oh, okay. I have 12 minutes?
Two.
2 minutes. Okay, let me just run through the slides. Okay, we look at the composition of the grains, looked at the total natural carbohydrate, the crude protein, the phosphorus, potassium, and sodium, and found that differences are not very much. Chlorophyll reading, spud units of the plants, look at shoot dry weight, and then, of course, the root dry weight, in which we found that those plants treated with the oil field water had a higher amount of root mass than those treated with fresh water, which is characteristic of any plants growing under stress, where they tend to accumulate more photosynthate in the roots than the shoot. In conclusion, we have found an effective method for removing hydrocarbons from oil field water. We also have found that the oil field water has been reduced from almost 150 parts per million to 0.3 parts per million by air flotation, sand filtration, activated and carbon. And we found some success with rose grass, alfalfa, and barley. I put your attention to this camels here. They're looking very hungry and look at the soil, very dry. What we want is this, a greenery, you know, which you can use that amount of water to produce a green desert. I mean, so that those camels will look fresh. So that's our aim. The challenges are large volumes of oil field water, small diameters of oil droplets, and some heavy metal contamination in the water. Acknowledge Japanese government for funding, of course, then of course Sultan Qaboos University for their support, and Petroleum Development Oman for access to their oil fields, and my colleague Akira Musanto from Japan, my colleague SQU Salim Mosro, and Suleiman. Thank you.